It is to provide some basic guidelines for the Catholic laity to restore America to its Christian origins. The premises are the principles of the Catholic faith brought to the New World with the discovery of the Americas. That is why, as I'm sure you know, the next International Eucharistic Congress is in Seville, Spain, where Christopher Columbus was first buried. Holy Father's wish is that as many Americans as possible, North and South America, participate in the International Eucharistic Congress in Seville, which is from the 3rd to the 11th of June of 1993. This being my 23rd year in working for the Holy See, for their last month on business. And the Holy Father has no illusions. Among the countries in the New World, the most secular is the United States. His great hope, and I'm not exaggerating, he's hoping that a miracle will take place to convert America back to God. We may say how this projected re-evangelization is not optional. On its success depends nothing less. Depends nothing less than the survival of our nation, morally, socially, and spiritually. This is not a prophecy. It's a fact. The days of America are numbered. No way the United States can survive given its present deluge of immorality. God won't allow it. We are too influential worldwide as a nation. There will be an opening lecture, which I will give after this introduction, on the re-evangelization of America, a responsibility of the laity. In order to achieve this, notice, re-evangelization, the language is the Holy Father's. To achieve this re-evangelization, the laity have certain obligations to understand their Catholic faith, to live their Catholic faith faithfully, to pray their faith by a growing union with God, to share their faith by personal conversation and active evangelization. And finally, and crucially, to suffer for their faith by uniting their trials, physical and spiritual, in union with Christ for the conversion of sinners and the extension of Christ's kingdom. No Catholic can remain a Catholic faithful person in America today without suffering. No way. Either you pay dearly for remaining a Catholic bishop, a Catholic priest, a Catholic religious, Catholic father and mother, husband, wife, child, student, you name it. Either you pay or and you pay dearly, or you will compromise your faith. And men like Mario Cuomo of New York, and women like Geraldine Ferraro are only examples of nominal Catholics who are not willing to pay for their faith. What's our method or procedure? First, reading carefully the Second Vatican Council document on the apostolate of the laity. You should all have received copies. And the reading assignment, I think I told you, you'll be given a quiz. And it'll be a short quiz. I'll tell you to make it as perceptive as possible. Won't last more than 10 minutes. And by the way, don't be late for class. If we're not all here, I'll delay giving the quiz until you get here. On that reading, just to see whether you have read it and your mind was turned on while you were reading it. The class lectures following the sequence outlined above on the Catholic Re-Evangelization of America. Then some practical ideas for personal and organized apostolic re-evangelization, including the retrieval of lapsed Catholics. And here, by the way, I welcome your recommendations. As you know, the Jung Universal Catechism is already published in original French, not, however, released yet to the public. You'll be pleased with it when you see it. Amish edition should be available maybe by Christmas. In any case, I need not tell you, we need a massive re-education of millions of American Catholics. Do you believe me? And I know I'm being taped, but I must say it. I've already said it in effect before, including our priests. They need to be re-educated. And I'm quoting, as I said before, my own Vatican superior, who has a right to tell me that. Ideas you have for retrieving lapsed Catholics, for re-evangelizing our country, you'll be welcome. Any ideas you have, the more practical, the better, whether individually or as a group effort. One of my hopes from this, and Lord willing, the spring semester of these classes, is to organize, as the Holy See is telling me, to organize the laity in a way that we have not so far been organized in our country. Then, questions as usual. I'd recommend putting your questions on the 3x5 cards, and I'll cover, depending on how many questions there are, at least the last 20 or so minutes of the present class. The class ends, I believe, at 4:15, and we'll start the questions, present plan, at 5 to 4. What we'll be doing, by the way, unlike the last class, which is going over those questions, I will have a manuscript for each of these classes. Then I will ask somebody to type a manuscript and then have it available to the class afterwards. Is that fair? Years of teaching have told me you don't give the students beforehand. Spoils it. Besides, I won't just read. I will use this as a manuscript to refresh my memory. Subject: the re-evangelization of America, a responsibility of the laity. We do not normally think of America as a mission country. On the contrary, we have for generations be sending missionaries to other countries. to the people of Asia and Africa. We have mission aid societies. We have Mission Sunday. Over the years, thousands of American priests, religious, and Holy Father wants an increasing number of dedicated lay Catholic missionaries. Let me repeat, Holy Father wants a growing number of dedicated lay Catholic missionaries to other countries. Part of our responsibility. One reason, you may be surprised, for this course. However, much has happened since the middle even of the 20th century. We have become more and more secularized. Not too many decades ago, that we could honestly say, as our Supreme Court on one occasion said, can you imagine the United States is a Christian nation? Our churches were numerous. Our congregations were flourishing. Our Catholic school system was the envy of the world. Our Catholic family life was always under severe pressure. But it was a stable family life. And our Christian values of right and wrong are basically sound. My purpose in this opening class is to ask four questions and try within the period at our disposal to answer them. First, why? Why does America have to be re-evangelized? That's what the Pope is telling the American bishops. Second, what does re-evangelization mean? Third, how is the re-evangelization of our country to be done? And fourth, who is mainly responsible for this re-evangelization? First, why does America have to be re-evangelized? If it isn't, America as a nation will disappear. It has to be re-evangelized because America has become de-Christianized. In my opinion, it is not an opinion. It is a provable fact. There are certain basic premises of Christianity which are easily identified. Even where a person is not professedly Catholic, there are principles of faith and norms of morality that those who claim to be Christian still believe in and, in greater or less measure, put into practice. Thus, a Christian believes in the existence of a personal God who is the creator of the human race. A Christian believes that God became man in the person of Jesus Christ. Thus, Christmas Day is the birthday of Christ, the Son of the Virgin Mary, and Good Friday is the commemoration of his death by crucifixion on Calvary. Easter Sunday is the feast of Christ's resurrection from the dead. Some time ago, I was talking to Methodist Bishop of Chicago. He was, by the way, from Kalamazoo originally. We knew each other. He came to Chicago, Methodist Bishop of Northern Indiana, about 400 Methodist churches under his jurisdiction. He said, I watch television on Easter morning. In fact, I stay there much of the day, kept an eye. Not one program on one Chicago television station would even imply that Easter Sunday was the anniversary of Christ's resurrection from the dead. So he said, I mobilized my Methodists. And I can tell you, the next Easter Sunday, because we threatened these television stations with foreclosure. I'm happy to say, Easter Sunday, now you can tell, oh yes, Easter Sunday is the anniversary of Christ's resurrection from the dead. A Christian believes there are certain moral laws that are divinely binding on all people, that premarital sex relations are fornication, that extramarital sex activity is adultery. A Christian believes that marital relations between husband and wife are sacred, and that artificial birth control is a sin. A Christian believes that sex activity between two men or two women is sodomy and a crime that characterized the pagan nations of antiquity and destroyed their civilization. No society has ever survived. Homosexuals in power, they're in power. I mean it. I've got no prophetic powers. I hope we'll make it to the year 2000. A Christian believes that the willful destruction of unborn human life is murder. A Christian believes that marriage is a lifetime commitment, and that divorce with remarriage is forbidden by Jesus Christ. Even among Christians who are not Catholic, marital instability was frowned upon and an embarrassment to Protestants. For Catholics, there was never any question of a temporary marriage or a part-time commitment, and there was no organized movement for the annulment of marriages. I repeat, the days of America are numbered. The Catholic Church cannot survive. No wonder they're closing so many churches. Because many of the once believing Catholics are no longer Catholics. A Christian welcomed children, and Christian families were sizable, and the population growth was substantial, and our schools were flourishing. Something drastic has happened. Every one of the features identified as typical of a Christian civilization is, to say the least, on trial. Our Holy Father, in speaking to the bishops from Western countries, is telling them in the plainest possible language, there are people in Germany, in France, in England, and surprisingly, in Spain and Italy, and not surprisingly, in the United States, your people must be re-evangelized. And it's harder to re-evangelize than to evangelize in the first place. Born pagans who have never been Christians are easier to convert to Christianity than those who had been Christians and, as we say, mistakenly abandoned. Nobody abandons the Catholic faith. They give it away. They don't lose it. Second question. What does re-evangelization mean? We better know. I made my first trip to the country where my parents were born, Slovakia, last month. I was forbidden to enter the country till 2 years ago when the Soviet government pulled out because I was legally a Soviet citizen. But I would not in conscience visit just my relatives. It had to be some other justifiable reason. There was to begin making contact, which they made on their side with the liberated countries. You name it, they need it. And the poorer cities, the villages, have kept the faith. The only way you could get any education beyond the early grades in Czechoslovakia was to become a communist. Couldn't get a decent job. And you were a card-carrying communist. Yet so many remained faithful. What then does re-evangelization mean? And we are worse off, I mean it, than so many millions that had been enslaved by communism for up to 70 years. It means reconversion. It means bringing people whose ancestry was Christian, or even have been baptized, who may have been professed Catholics, but who no longer believe in the basic truths revealed by Christ and taught by the Church for 1900 years. Is it October the 10th that I'm speaking in Lansing?
Yes.
To the Michigan Right to Life. They called me up to remind me to be sure to show up that I want to see at the hotel the night before. Breakfast is 7:30. After breakfast, I'm to speak on the future is ours. So I said, I told the woman who called me up, I'm a Catholic priest. Well, I suppose I'm to speak. Well, like a Catholic priest, and talk about the Catholic principles of the pro-life movement. Oh no, she says, oh no. We've got a mixed audience. Oh, how well I've been trained as a Jesuit. I'll speak as a militant Roman Catholic. Re-evangelization means more than converting people from a life of sin. The hardest and most important conversion we need in the United States is conversion of the mind. the minds of millions have been perverted. They are a multi-billion dollar American educational system. It means converting their minds to accept on divine authority what God has revealed. It means bringing unbelievers who have thrown away their Christian heritage to become believers. And by the way, I'd like to share this with you. There's a man who came to visit me from Tulsa, Oklahoma. He's organized a movement called Say Yes to Jesus. Sounds like Billy Graham. No, he's Catholic. He even got shirts. Say Yes to Jesus. And he's organizing youth rallies in different large cities of the country. And during these rallies, he will even have the Blessed Sacrament exposed. And he gets priests to hear confessions. Isn't that great? A layman, a prominent businessman of Tulsa. He came to see me. I said, wonderful idea. Well, what's your follow-up? That's why I'm here. I promised to provide him with personnel, unpaid in the money of this world, but paid by the divine treasurer in supernatural currency, which I call divine grace. Organized, never. Do you think Lansing could stand a rally? Detroit, do you think Detroit could stand a youth rally? And he tells me, I have to say this, and is meeting his worst opposition from the clergy. The very term, re-evangelization, is new to our vocabulary. And the reason is not hard to find. Our century is witnessing the most widespread and devastating loss of faith among Christians, including Catholics, hear it, in the history of Christianity. There has never been such widespread apostasy among once-believing Catholics as in the 20th century. Never, question mark, never, exclamation mark. And one reason, of course, is the media. We must make sure we know what we're saying. In the Western world, there has been a massive abandonment of Christian belief and a corresponding abandonment of Christian morality. When a priest, may God forgive him, in an international magazine on the spiritual life, writes a learned, dripping with footnotes article defending homosexuality, the Western world is indeed de-Christianizing. Recently, I received a telephone call from a priest in California who asked whether Catholics in a given Western state could vote yes on a ballot which allowed direct abortion under certain circumstances. You know, the choices to vote unrestricted abortion. In other words, American citizens are no longer being given the option to vote against all direct killing of the unborn. I was in Washington, as I said, just this weekend. I'm in there a lot. Lived there for 4 years, and over the years I've been working with those working in the government. I can tell you, the voting, we still say mistakenly that in a democratic society we have a choice. In many cases, we don't even have a moral choice. The choice they give us is between often the bad and the worse. You turn to our question. What does re-evangelization mean? And we repeat, evangelization means restoring the Christian faith to millions in our country who no longer believe that God became man in the person of Jesus Christ. They just don't. You read a big, thick book called Jesus Christ by the Dominican theologian Skillebeck. You read that? If you still believe in Christ, you've not been perverted by Skillebeck. And the New Creation Sex Education series that I was asked to analyze for the Holy See. Bad, comma, very bad. Widely used in one Catholic school after another in our country. 8 years of indoctrination in what we call Nestorian Christianity. That Christ had the same sex passions that we do. That's not only heresy, or a lie, that is perversion. Many of our once believing Catholics no longer believe that Christ died on the cross for the redemption of the human race. That Christ rose from the dead. A German bishop, not to be identified. He was elevated to the hierarchy, and I have reason to think that he is now more Catholic than he was before he became a bishop. But he wrote a very learned book in German, published in different languages, on Jesus Christ. The resurrection is merely and only and exclusively something which those who want to believe in. But we cannot establish that Christ really, truly rose from the dead in a human body. Millions of Catholics no longer believe that Christ instituted the sacraments. It was here after one of our Sunday classes. A lady came to me and she told me she had just witnessed a baptism at which the priest baptizing the child before the baptism told everybody, "I want to make sure you understand that baptism does not remove original sin." Am I clear? Baptism does not remove original sin. This can raise some very serious problems, including how validly some priests are administering the sacraments. Just because a priest does not believe that baptism removes original sin by itself does not invalidate his administration of the sacrament. But it does raise problems. And that's why I was called twice by the Holy Father's secretaries, I'm sure I've told you last year, to do something to restore and therefore re-evangelize the Catholic faithful in your country in the real presence of Jesus Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. One Catholic church after another looks like a Quaker meeting hall. There are dioceses, I'm told, where the bishop forbids the people to kneel during the consecration. I think I told you what I do with a group of men that I spoke here in Domino's Farms on one Good Friday lecture that I gave them. How many of you men will genuflect before the Blessed Sacrament? No matter who does not genuflect, a dozen hands went up. How many of you will always genuflect before the Blessed Sacrament? About 50 hands went up. Come, how many? How many of you? Finally, every hand. Remember, for a man, this is a contract. The scandal, as I'm sure you know, of the massive desecration of the real peasants, millions who have lost their faith in Jesus Christ being on earth in the Eucharist. Need I go on to explain why it needs, it sure does, re-evangelization? Next question. How is this re-evangelization of our country to be done? The answer is simple. Simple to put in words, but not easy to put into practice. Re-evangelization is to be done in the same way as evangelization, although you must work harder. Evangelization, therefore, is more demanding than evangelization of pagans. It is always harder to reconvert a former believer, that is, to convert a non-Christian to Christianity or a non-Catholic to the Catholic Church. Evangelization is more difficult, maybe less appealing, is more costly in time, effort, and energy, and human resources. Then, I'm planning for the rest of the semester. How do we re-evangelize? Evangelize, that means restore the Christian and Catholic faith in our country by doing five things. We learn our Catholic faith. And the ignorance in allegedly learned circles of the Catholic faith is abysmal. Secondly, while living our Catholic faith, if we're going to convert others, we better be living bona fide, authentic Catholic lives ourselves. Otherwise, people will say, well, if what you're telling me is the truth, why has it been lost on you? You must pray our Catholic faith. And I mean prayer. And I mean prayer. Back to my 5-day state, or country rather, where my parents were born. In the village where my mother came, 500 people, I found out, they were all related. Every one of them. You meet somebody on the street. You don't say hello or good morning. You say, praise be Jesus Christ. And the answer is now and forever. They pray. There's such a thing as praying all day. I knew I made a mistake coming to class here. Yeah, pray. Let's talk about this. Four, share. Share the Catholic faith. I would welcome, by the way, any literature you can provide. In fact, we might even have some exhibits here for class of the way others are promoting whatever they are promoting. The Mormons, the Jehovah's Witness, the Hare Krishnas. Take the New Age people, the way they're peddling their wares, and have penetrated, as you know, many, if not most, Catholic dioceses in America. You've got to learn some of their techniques. How zealous they are. How aggressive they are. I did tell you, didn't I, about the two Mormons. Two young men, well-dressed. Visiting me in Manhattan. Came from the Mother Church in Salt Lake City to convert Father Hardin. I was flattered. You've got to work on people. You've got to be shrewd. And by the way, St. Ignatius in the 16th century, he was shrewd. So, whatever I've inherited from him, shrewdness. So share the faith. You don't hit people over the head. You got to become a Catholic. No, you smile. You're nice. When I began teaching at Western Michigan, they forbade me, as I think I told you, to exercise any of my priestly ministry outside the classroom. And then they told me not to evangelize. Well, so I got myself a job as Catholic chaplain at the state hospital. And when finally I cleared things with the bishop and the superintendent, 14 people showed up for my first mass in the kind of a small auditorium they have there. So I thought to myself, and I asked the administrators, there must be more than 14 Catholics out of 3,000 residents in the state hospital. Well, I found there were over 600. You know what happened? The Protestants were paying Mazuma, were paying the people their money to come to their Sunday services. Well, I had no money, so I had to use other Jesuitical means. I told you what they did, didn't I? Oh. I got the Protestants of Kalamazoo to form a committee. Of course, you know who was chairman of that committee. To build an interfaith chapel on the premises of the state hospital. I told you about this, didn't I? Oh, yes. They got money from. They got $400,000. And, of course, remember, this was engineered Yeah, by a person who had other plans in view. So in the contract, as long as Kalamazoo State Hospital exists, it's in writing, there must be a Catholic chapel within that larger chapel with the Blessed Sacrament permanently reserved. Isn't that neat? Then we have the church filled. So we must share, and share shrewdly. Finally, suffer. Let me just say a word about the last item. We usually think of suffering for our Catholic faith. Well, that's still true. But there's also such a thing as suffering the Catholic faith. Meaning what? Meaning, as Christ could not have been plainer in telling us. Finish the sentence as a class. Yeah.